Questions that arise from the dramatic turn of events in Maharashtra politics can be broadly put in three baskets: moral, political, and ideological. We shall deal with the moral first and ideological last. The first will take us the least time, the moral aspect will take us the least time and words, and the last one the most, that is the ideological one the most. The morality question on the bulldozing by defection in Maharashtra is easily answered. To begin with, the MVA government, Maharashtra Vikas Aghadi government, was itself born in sin. Shiv Sena had contested jointly with the BJP. There was a joint front with BJP and Shiv Sena. They were against another joint front, which was NCP and Congress. Post elections, it defected. Shiv Sena defected to its rivals instead. That was immoral, cynical real politics, as is the engineered collapse now. In any case, only the naive look for morality in politics. Morality is now sorted. We move on to politics, pure politics. It is one thing to acquire power, it's quite another to keep it. The Shiv Sena grabbed power in one swift and brilliant political move in 2019, which was its split with the BJP. There was no reason for the split other than they wanted the chief ministership in the government, never mind the fact that their winning MLAs, which is 56, was just about half of those of the BJP's, that was 105. When the BJP said no, they switched to the old UPA allies. Now, old UPA allies meaning Congress and NCP, these are also old rivals of BJP and Shiv Sena. Those two had no problem handing over the chief ministership to Uddhav Thackeray. It wasn't theirs to begin with. In fact, if anything, they were going to sit in the opposition. The Sena was bringing them an improbable gift, turning defeat into victory. There was nothing to lose now. There was also on that side the ultimate practitioner of real politics, namely Sharad Pawar, who then also convinced the doubting minds in the Congress party that forget your ideology, we are denying the BJP power and we are getting some power in such a big state, don't complain about it. Now, if we go back 2.5 years and check the media archives, almost all observers, pundits, analysts had predicted that the government in Maharashtra would be unstable and short-lived. The first turned out to be untrue. The government actually was quite stable and cohesive until it lasted, but short-lived it was. Congress, it was my view, was the most likely to topple this rickety three-legged stool, because at some point I thought it will get fed up with the Sena's Hindu politics. More people, however, thought that it would be the NCP, because NCP is known to be mercurial, ideologically fungible with power. Nobody, at least nobody I have read or listened to, suspected that the fall of the MVA government would come because Shiv Sena would walk away or disintegrate. In this case, a bit of both happened. About two-thirds of the Shiv Sena walked away, all of it didn't walk away, and it disintegrated. Now, how does one explain that? The widely accepted logic in our politics is that power is the stickiest glue. So how did this happen? How did the Thackerays, with full control of their party, government, police, intelligence, never figured the ground was slipping from under their feet? As is well known in political circles now, and as confirmed by BJP's lawyer and MP Mahesh Jethmalani in an interview to my colleague Jyoti Malhotra on the print, in fact, I'm sharing a link with you, the party had been in touch with Shinde. The BJP had been in touch with Shinde secretly for more than 2 years. If the Thackerays never got a whiff, it indicates some incredible political incompetence. One brilliant move might enable you to snatch away power from the strongest, but it takes eternal vigilance and smarts to keep it. This is where the Thackerays proved to be a disaster. They were asleep on the wheel. They were enjoying power, running their government, enjoying the adulation that they were getting, say, from the secular commentariat for their dramatic switch from Hindutva to a fairly sound secular administration. But they missed all this change that was taking place right under their noses. Which brings us to the issue of ideology. And as we told you, this is the most complex and will take us the longest to explain. Eknath Shinde and his people say they left the Thackerays because they were seeking ideological purity. Thackeray's, they say, was a betrayal. He went to the secular camp. It follows that they claim or they believe that they are much closer to their real selves in the BJP's warm embrace. Two further questions arise from this. One, how uncontentious was the ideological harmony between the BJP and Shiv Sena before the 2019 split? And the second, what exactly is the Sena's ideology? Again, the first is easier to answer than the second. Now, for a decade, since the passing of Balasaheb Thackeray, 17 November 2012, and the rise of Narendra Modi as a national figure for the BJP, Uddhav Thackeray has worried about the ideological ground slipping away to the BJP. He has often said that Balasaheb probably erred in shifting from pure Maharashtravad to Hinduvad, that is, from regionalism or regional chauvinism to Hindutva. On the Marathi Manus plank, he believed nobody, not even Narendra Modi, could challenge Balasaheb Thackeray, because Modi, after all, had to be a national leader. He could not be a Maharashtravadi national leader. But on Hindutva, in the course of time, Modi would look more convincing and formidable than the Sena. That has been Uddhav Thackeray's view. And he's been right. A series of elections showed in Maharashtra how the Hindu vote was shifting away from Sena to the BJP. While the National Party had begun as a junior partner, way smaller than the Sena, now it galloped closer, overtook it, and outnumbered it 2:1, almost 2:1 in 2019. Remember, in the past, when the two parties jointly had the chief ministership, they had the state government, on both those occasions, the chief minister was from Shiv Sena. It was a non-Thackeray, but from Shiv Sena, Manohar Joshi and also Narayan Rane. The Thackerays never took power, but the fact is that Shiv Sena in Maharashtra was a much bigger power than the BJP. So the chief ministership came naturally to it. Now they were about a half of the BJP. These alarms were ringing. So Uddhav moved swiftly to reverse it. But you know what? It was too late. Instead of going towards deeper Hindutva, he now sought to buy power, solace and some time in the secular camp, because he knew that Shiv Sena's hold was slipping. So he figured that having power at this point with the other camp was better than being the junior partner in BJP and becoming smaller and smaller. It took him further away from his Hindutva proposition though. Which brings us to the second point. What is Shiv Sena's ideology? We might say it's been a convenient mix of extreme ethnic chauvinism and unforgiving Hindutva. The first goes on all the time and often manifests in headline hunting, acts of hooliganism and vandalism, even things as silly as the defacing of signboards not in Marathi, to something as serious as attacks on intellectuals they don't like. The second part of their ideology, hard and often violent Hindutva, rises when the opportunity comes, as during the 1992-93 riots after the Babri Masjid incident. But within that, the party has always retained space to maneuver. The party has never got straitjacketed. In 1992-93, for example, the party cadres did whatever they did to the Muslims. But Balasaheb could also publicly show his support and his protection to actor Sanjay Dutt, arrested under anti-terror laws then with deadly weapons found in his home. The senior Thackeray, you see, could do anything and get away with it. He could swing any side, sometimes both sides, within hours. There was a reason he never wanted a Thackeray to hold formal power. He wasn't to be the king, because that means responsibility and accountability. Nor was he going to be just the kingmaker. He was going to hold power without actually formally owning it. He was the Don, and like Napoleon believing that the throne was nothing but just an overpriced piece of furniture, he also believed that a formal title will actually undermine his power, not enhance it. Which brings back a story to me. Sometime on a Saturday late in 2001 in the winter, my phone rang at night and the caller said Balasaheb wanted to speak with me. So I immediately figured that morning, it was a Saturday morning, that's when National Interest is printed. I figured that morning my National Interest had appeared, where I referred to him as a mafioso. So I braced for a shellacking. I thought now Balasaheb will get on the phone and curse me and shout at me and threaten me. Instead, surprise of surprises, he was all charm. And he said, of all the people who abuse me, Shekharji, you write the most delightfully. And then added for effect, unlike that so-and-so Rajdeep Sardesai. Now, I presume that he was perfectly capable of calling Rajdeep Sardesai and saying something even worse about me to him. If you find my writing delightful, I asked him, what are you doing for me, Bala Sahib? He offered me dinner in Mumbai, asked if I'd bring my wife along, if we ate meat or drank wine. I said yes to all. But you know what? You must remember, he said, I drink and serve only white wine. Red wine is good for the heart, and as you know, I'm a heartless person. So, joke went on. And then that dinner at Matoshri did happen. And much talk as the dinner was about how incompetent or dishonest, his words, not mine, quote unquote, incompetent or dishonest Suresh Prabhu had been. Suresh Prabhu was then his party's minister in the Vajpayee cabinet. How incompetent or dishonest, quote unquote, with both, he had been in Vajpayee cabinet in claiming inability to make any money for the party. I said, he's an honest guy. He said, what honest? He has to make money for the party. There was none of the hypocrisy we usually encounter on money matters with the political class in general, not with Bala Sahab. His two grandsons then, very young, they were prancing around the living room. One, I think it was Aditya, wore one of those World Wrestling Federation WWF t-shirts featuring a then famous shaven-headed wrestler, famous with young people, young kids at that point. So he was running around the living room and he caught Bala Sahab's eye. He said, "Are, why are you wearing this so-and-so Pritesh Nandi's t-shirt or t-shirt having Pritesh Nandi on it? How can you speak about Pritesh Nandi like this?" I asked him. "He's your party's MP." "That's the problem," Bala Sahab said. "He took Rajya Sabha from me, but again, so-and-so, his compliment to Pritesh Nandi, never told me he's Christian, or I would never have given it to him." Now, some of this conversation got repeated and recorded subsequently in an early 2007 interview on NDTV's Walk the Talk, coinciding with Bala Sahab's 80th anniversary. In fact, a picture from that interview, white wine in our hands, you will see it on my screen, white wine in our hands, a tiger and Michael Jackson on the wall is among my prized possessions. In that interview, I brought him back to the money and politics question, particularly about Suresh Prabhu, what he had said about him. He said he had complained to Pramod Mahajan about Prabhu not making any money for the party. And he says, first of all, that in his ministry, there is no money left. And second, that it's impossible to make any money. He said, Mahajan told him that if anybody said it wasn't possible to make money as a minister, he was either lying or incompetent or both. There was never a moment of hesitation from Bala Sahab talking about these issues. He knew the art of monetizing power and not being apologetic about it. That truthfully, and I say with some humility, that truthfully was the real ideology of the Shiv Sena. Mostly protection money, if not extortion. By taking over as chief minister, Uddhav took his party away from it. You couldn't be holding power and still running such a humongous private operation. And the truth is that he ran quite a sound government by Maharashtra standards, a pretty good government. That loss of ideology or patronage is also what Shinde's Sainiks now might be complaining about. And you know what? You might have seen today that sort of uncharacteristically, although I look at my notes often, today you have also seen my eye go in that direction. Obviously, I'm watching something on TV. So what am I watching? I am watching this brilliant fight back by Pant and Jadeja against England. Pant has just completed his 100. That's particularly the moment when I lingered on the screen. And you know what? What is the message? That if England have got Bairstow, we've got Pant. If Bairstow can do it, so can Pant. So on that happy note, we conclude this week's National Interest.